the people are just, you know, used to taking out their phones and interacting with their phones while they are watching a football pitch. It's not something that the DFL wants people to do, but it's just something by now natural. And so what we try to understand is, you know, that's a glass of the device in the end of the customer. So what does he actually want to do there? Is he going to order something that he wants to buy later in the merchandise store? Or is it rather, you know, enhancing the experience of the match itself by placing augmented reality on top of the phone and on top of the pitch and understanding the game better?
This is the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast, showcasing outstanding startups and initiatives in the global sports tech ecosystem. From Sports Tech X, the leading source for data and insights about sports tech, here is your host, Roan Malhotra.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast. And this is the last one in our series focusing on stadium tech, innovation in stadium and venue tech, I should say. This is in partnership with the DFL, with the Deutsche Fußball League, in anticipation or in expectation of their upcoming sports innovation event happening on the 20th and 21st of March next year. It's an event where they showcase all of the coolest technology that they are working with. So who better to close our series than, of course, the DFL themselves? I've got on our show today Lukas Rosnowicz, Head of Digital Innovations at the DFL, at the Deutsche Fußball Liga. Welcome to the show, Lukas.
Thank you, and thanks for having us. Great to be part of the show. Looking forward to what we explore today.
Yeah, it should be an interesting conversation. I think it's been a fun month. We've covered quite a few different types of, let's say, innovations in stadium tech, from ASB Glassfloor, which is, okay, it's not football, but they have applications in different sports, doing super interesting, let's say, materials that you can play sport on, famously for FIBA. We've had on the fan experience side, somebody like Ping. We've had a bunch of different companies. But to round it off, OnePlan, who are doing the digital twin for Paris 24. So covering a few different areas of stadium innovation. But the idea today with you is to talk about what the DFL is doing overall. And of course, leading up to the sports innovation event happening early next year. But before we get to all of that good stuff, Lukas, I always want to know who exactly I am speaking with, especially when people come with such interesting titles as Head of Digital Innovations at the DFL, which sounds like a cool job. Maybe you'll tell me how cool it is or not. But I'm curious your role to get to where you are and what exactly it is that you do there.
Of course. And thanks for introducing myself. And yeah, looking forward to introduce myself and say a little bit about what I'm doing at the DFL, because as you said, Head of Digital Innovation sounds interesting, and it is interesting. It's a lot of fun. But what does it really mean? It means basically that I'm looking at technology and looking at how we can enhance our media value chain through technology. Where can we place innovations, where we can run test cases, where we can work together with innovative companies, with technology partners such as AWS. I think it's probably the most famous one that we SDFL have, and we try and look where we can enhance and improve through technology, and so that's a lot of fun. And maybe a couple of words about myself. So first and foremost, I'm a sports interested person. I'm a fan. I'm into soccer, into football, as we say in Germany, of course. And I have a background in sports marketing, and I worked for a sports marketing agency, and worked for DFL, then headed to consulting, and then came back to DFL a year ago. And since then, I'm working as Head of Digital Innovation in that capacity.
Yeah, I saw that. You had a job with the DFL, and then you moved out and came back. So clearly the attraction was very strong, maybe. Quick question, your favorite team of choice?
Well, of course, in my professional job, I'm neutral and binded to it. But let's just say I have a black and yellow heart, and was suffering at the last match day of last season at Bundesliga in the stadium. But I've experienced some great moments there as well. And I think part of football is that passion and these emotions. And our famous slogan is, you know, football as it's meant to be. And that means, you know, sometimes you suffer and sometimes you cheer. And, you know, that time we suffered. But I hope, you know, there'll be some reasons for a party in Dortmund sometime soon.
I hope so too. And I mean, two things there before we move on to the more interesting topics. One, I've never been to that stadium. It looks incredible and I have to go. Of course, the yellow wall is famous for anybody who enjoys watching football in a stadium. But two, that specific moment of the reaction of the fans after the final whistle, after the title had seemingly slipped away and it was a disaster. But that was, it just gave you so much inspiration and joy about this is why we watch sport, the way the fans just cheered and clapped the entire team off the pitch. That was truly incredible to watch.
So that was great. And maybe a fun fact about innovations on that match day. I mean, we do the Bundesliga match facts, our real-time analytics and stats. And we have a new Bundesliga match fact since a couple of months now called win probability. And the win probability at that match for Borussia Dortmund was quite high. So the data said Dortmund would win. I mean, it turned out that, you know, they wouldn't and they would not become champion. And so sometimes, you know, even the best technology and the best data doesn't tell you what's going to happen. And I think that's also a little bit of the beauty of the game that, you know, there's still some mystery to it. And I think we want to remain that mystery in the game. And I think through technology, we always try to, you know, just, you know, give another opportunity for the fan to experience the game, but we don't want to, you know, change it per se.
A super professional, Lucas, doing my job for me, bringing the conversation right back into technology. So let's talk about technology, and especially in your role at as the head of digital innovation. Let's take a step back. What exactly, paint the picture for me. What exactly does the DFL look at when it talks about digital innovation? Is it performance? Is it media? Like, what is the entire, let's say, spectrum that you're interested in? And then specifically, how do you engage with innovation?
Of course, happy to do so. I think the best way to look at it is looking at our media value chain. And, you know, we have that by now famous glass-to-glass strategy, which means we own and control the full media value chain from the glass of the camera lens in the stadium to the glass of the device of, you know, the end user and the fan, and, of course, together with our broadcasting partners. But that allows us basically to innovate across that whole media value chain. So when we look at innovations, we also say, hey, let's look at the different touch points that we have in that media value chain. So from broadcast to sports data and data gathering and analytics to content creation that we do at Digital Sports until distribution through our international colleagues. So in the end, we look at that whole media value chain and look at what can we actually do there, what kind of pain points do we see, what kind of needs and demands do we see from fans, from customers, from clubs, and from our media partners. Because in the end, we not try to innovate just, you know, for the sake of it. We try to do it in order to do something meaningful. And that's what we're going to do for these three target groups.
I like that approach, that glass-to-glass analogy. I've not heard that before. I've spoken to a lot of people. So it's a very easy way to understand. And everything that happens in between these two panels, we look at. Let's talk specifically, though, about what is not going into the glass, but what is staying in the stadium. Because that is, I guess, equally, if not maybe more or less important for you, the experience of the fan in the stadium, but also the experience of everybody involved in, let's say, taking the show into the glass, the broadcast management, all the data gathering services and stuff. So looking specifically at stadium tech, how does digital innovation interact within the arena?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of pointed it out a little bit. That's still, to some extent, part of what the clubs, of course, do, because it's in their territory. But as a league, we, of course, also see opportunities how to combine club and league perspectives. and also to understand what kind of innovations in the stadium can maybe benefit the league itself. Because in the end, the fan that's going to be in the stadium watching a football match 20, 30 years ago was solely looking at the pitch and, you know, drinking his beer and, you know, eating his bratwurst, as we say in Germany. And, you know, some people still want to do that. And that's super fine with us. We still want to have that that feeling and allowing people to experiencing a football match like that. On the other hand, there are just, by, you know, you see it in consumer behavior. The people are just, you know, used to taking out their phones and interacting with their phones while they are watching a football pitch. It's not something that the DFL wants people to do, but it's just something by now natural. And so what we try to understand is, you know, that's a glass of the device in the end of the customer. So what does he actually want to do there? Is he going to order something that he wants to buy later in the merchandise store? Or is it rather, you know, enhancing the experience of the match itself by placing augmented reality on top of the phone and on top of the pitch and understanding the game better, which we did together with Vodafone and Immersive in, I think, great showcase that allowed people to understand the match better through additional analytics that came in and through our Bundesliga match facts, through the sports data that we gather at SportTech Solutions, our joint venture with DeltaTree. And through all that information that we gather and throughout the partnership with Immersive and Vodafone, we were able to do that in real time and give the customer, the fan in the stadium, the opportunity to experience that data in real time and understand the game better. And I think that's a, you know, just something where we look at, you know, what's happening in the customer behavior and how can we provide them a solution that they can benefit from. And that's kind of always how we try to approach innovation.
And what you just referred to, the case with Immersive and Vodafone and the DFL, that was one of those wow experience moments when you really see something cool coming to life, and then you actually see it being tested and in a real world environment. So let's talk about this real world environment, which is what happens, I believe, at the Sports Innovation Day. You've done it once before in 2022, and it'll happen again in 2024. So walk me through that. What is the objective behind this event? What has happened at it before, and what do you hope will happen in the next one?
Yeah, thanks for bringing it up, because as you say, sports innovation is something very, very unique, very specific, and something I think really unique in that sports tech environment. And what we want to do at Sports Innovation is we want to offer a live environment for innovation to be tested and to be presented to the audience. Because, I mean, there are great conventions in the sports business out there, which I really like across the globe, and they're all meaningful. But at Sports Innovation, we do something that I think nobody else does. We offer partners, we offer companies the opportunity to test and showcase the innovation while the action is actually happening on the pitch. Mm-hmm. And we do that, of course, in these same pillars that we also innovate in. So in broadcast and content, in fan experience and stadium, and in sports data and performance. It's basically the same pillars that we reflect in our media value chain, because that's also the areas where we have an expertise in. But we don't have the expertise in everything, and not the DFL is very innovative, but there are other companies out there, there are startups out there, there are tech companies out there, other sports who can also present their innovations live there. We as DFL, of course, will have our own showcases, because we I think it's important also to have that knowledge exchange at that convention in Düsseldorf. We want to bring together really high exclusive people from the sports tech business together. And I think in 2022, it was a very, very successful event. We want to build on that and grow it even more internationally. We want to have even more opportunities to showcase live innovations, not just on the pitch, but even inside the exhibition area. You know, I think that whole USP of live innovation, tangible innovation that you can actually try out, feel, that you can actually see, is just something that we want to have all over the place in Düsseldorf. And of course, we look forward to what kind of showcases we will have, what kind of showcases companies will present, And because it's always kind of a glimpse into the future, what's next in sports tech. And yeah, we always wanted to be at the forefront of that.
Yeah, sounds like a super interesting event. So before I talk about 24, let's stay on 22 for a minute and talk about what happened in the previous one. Maybe there are some case studies or good success cases that you can highlight to us from the previous event.
I mean, in all areas, I think we had some great showcases. What I remember very well is, you know, that we back then it was a lot about vertical content, vertical video content, which was kind of, I wouldn't say new there, but I think it was basically the first event after COVID where it was really displayed and showcased. So I think that was really interesting to see what you can actually do with vertical content, vertical video production. Remote production is something that we already showcased to a certain extent at the 2022 Sports Innovation. And we had our immersive technology, not just on the phone, but we even had it with the glasses. And I know you said we focus on 2022, but looking at 24, I mean, especially looking at glasses, there's some new players on the market when it comes to glasses. So we look forward to maybe showcasing what's possible on new devices, because new devices always are new opportunities. Yeah. And when it comes to remote production, we did a fantastic test the beginning of this year with cloud remote production in a virtualized environment, and understanding what these technologies can bring to sustainability goals, how you know how we can change maybe the way we produce a football match today in the future. And I'm pretty sure that also sustainability and sustainable tech will play a pivotal role in the 2024 edition.
Makes sense. Was the remote production case, was that the one with DAZN you're talking about?
No, actually not that one. We did that one as well. But in March, we did a case together with AWS and our Sportcast production, in-house production unit, as well as a lot of other vendors as TVN, who are our partner in production. And we did a shadow production of a Bundesliga 2 match in a different location. So we went to Hanover, and the whole setup was there. And basically, all the feeds came into the cloud and were produced live. And there was a whole team there producing the match a second time, you could say, in a live environment. And then we could see, you know, the production live on site versus the one in the cloud. It was fascinating to see what's already possible. There's still some rooms to go, or some steps to go, I should say. But it's amazing to see what cloud technology can already do.
And that is the important thing, that you're already experimenting with the future so that you can adapt it to whatever requirements may come up. All right, perfect. You've, again, set me up nicely to talk about the upcoming one at 24. So my first question there is, so are all the companies that are showcasing, let's say, projects or innovations, are they all existing partners of the DFL, or you're also looking at potential partners? So there'll be some that you're already working with and some where it's kind of like a scouting test bed.
Yeah, as you said, it's both. So, of course, from our DFL perspective, we want to do great showcases with our existing partners and show what's possible in terms of broadcast, in terms of fan experience, in terms of sports data. And I'm pretty sure we're going to do that. But sports innovation also brings together, first of all, new companies that, of course, we are open to look at. And, you know, if there's a great innovation out there, why should we not look at it? And if they present themselves at Sports Innovation, that's the best platform to engage with DFL. But also, it brings together different sports. It brings together companies that are maybe active in different sports. You were talking about the glass floor in FIBA. These kind of technologies might not be relevant just for football itself right now, but they might be relevant to other sports who are at Sports Innovation. This is not just a DFL event. It's an event for all of sports, and we have a multi-sports approach where we also engage with all different leagues in Germany, but also internationally with the big leagues who are welcome at Sports Innovation to present their cases, either you know, on the stage or at a booth. And we really want to create an environment where you can learn from each other, and this I think then opens up new opportunities also for us to partner with new companies, of course.
Which makes sense. So something might not be directly applicable to DFL right now, but maybe by making a good introduction to work with somebody else, the key use case can evolve over time as well.
Exactly. Maybe just one example is the sustainability there. I think we all face similar challenges when it comes to sustainability, and that counts for basketball as well as for football as well as for hockey. And you know, it might not be the exact same challenge in stadium for in stadium solutions at an NBA venue or at an DFL venue, but it could be similar, and we can learn from each other. And as DFL, we also provide solutions for our clubs in terms of sustainability, in terms of ticketing solutions, in terms of when it comes to analyzing the movements of the spectators or how many spectators are in the stadium, how can we analyze that through AI? And that's not just something that's relevant for DFL. It's something that's relevant to other sports as well. And I'm pretty sure other leagues have the same same ideas there. And so why not create an environment where we can share that?
Yeah, it makes sense to have that kind of cross-breeding idea, ground for cross-breeding of ideas. So last one on the upcoming event. Any little surprises or any clues that you can give us of what we can expect? Anything exciting on the horizon?
I mean, we're still also in the planning phase, and
it's still early. Yeah, the event is in March of next year. So, just for context for anybody listening and watching, they're 6 months away. So, I'm sure Lucas and team have plenty of plans yet to completely finalize.
We have a lot of plans, and as I already pointed out, we're actually trying to evolve how, you know, what's the next in AR and VR. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be the next one just saying the word generative AI, but AI, be it Gen AI or, you know, other solutions when it comes to artificial intelligence and machine learning, I'm pretty sure there will be some cases related to that because when you look at 2022, it's 1.5 years ago, the last event, not even. And the whole topic of Gen AI was, it was already there. People forget that it was already there in 2022, but not to the extent that it is today. And, you know, 6 months ahead, there could be even, you know, even more breathtaking innovations. We don't even know yet. And so it's a very fast moving environment. And we try to pick out the cases that are, you know, also have a wow moment, wow factor, and you know, something that, you know, people can, you know, take away from that convention.
Stay up to date with all things sports tech and sign up for our newsletter. You'll get a monthly breakdown of the most important developments in the global sports tech ecosystem, paired with exclusive interviews with industry leaders. Get all of this and more delivered directly to your inbox. Sign up today at sportstechx.com.
Makes sense. You talked about immersive technology and use of AR and VR. You've talked about AI and specifically Gen AI. I can't leave you without talking about the third, let's say, buzzword in this trifecta, which is Web3. Anything that y'all are experimenting in this area as well?
Web3 was, and I think that's a good indicator that we tried to be on the forefront of innovation. It was one of the key topics in 2022. Mm-hmm. Since then, I mean, we have all seen that there was at least dip in, you know, Web3 technologies. But I think overall, Web3 still makes sense. And be it Web3 or some people say Web 2.5. But I think, especially when it comes to for example, loyalty programs. And I think the idea is for Web3, we really need to understand how we can make it something meaningful for the consumer and the fan. Because I think back in 2022, everybody was experimenting with it, but we have yet failed to deliver a true outcome for the fan. And I think as soon as we can do that, Web3, Web 2.5, however you call it, has fantastic opportunities, especially when it comes to, you know, thinking about adding, you know, sales activities within this inside the stadium, you know, giving people access to exclusive events that can be all stored in wallets that people can also take with them. And that's their actual property in terms of, you know, just in a database. And I think that's what we still have to kind of point out to the fan what's really exclusive about it.
True. The important thing is to understand what is the tangible use case that actually benefits the fan. I think the days of the NFT and the PFP profiles and things like that, those have gone, which is a good thing. The industry has moved on from that bubble. But hopefully NFTs are not, right now they're almost considered a bad word, not to be spoken about in the industry. But once we appreciate the underlying technology, as you said, loyalty programs is a big one where it can be applied. Ticketing is another one where you hope that it can be applied. And if those use cases prove out, then that technology can definitely play a big role in the experience that a sports fan is delivered. All right, perfect. So we've covered some interesting topics, some interesting buzzwords that we can expect at the upcoming event. A couple of questions there. Will there still be a match, right, which will be between two teams? Are those finalized? I don't know if those details are out yet.
Not yet out there, but we will have at least three matches. This likely to be the case is last time we had the event split into a, you know, live showcases on the first day. On the second day we had the conference program. We're going to mix that up and do matches on both days because we think, you know, that's the USP of the event. People come there to experience innovations live, and we want to do that on both days. Maybe, just maybe, we'll even see different sports that are showcasing innovations. But that really depends also, of course, on is there something, you know, that other sport leagues, other sports want to present there? Or is there something maybe inside the stadium that they want to present? We're very open to that. And I'm pretty sure there will be, again, some youth teams from Bundesliga clubs who are playing on the pitch while the innovations are happening. That's definitely going to be the case.
Exciting stuff, Lucas. I'll definitely be in Düsseldorf. I'm sure a lot of the listeners will be as well. It certainly, it fills me as a complete, not an outsider to the league or well to the industry. I'm very much there, but just looking from the outside, it just shows how progressive the DFL is. And the fact that you put on a show, this is not just a two-day conference, which, yeah, like a lot of teams or leagues might do, which is also good. It's furthering the cause. But to actually connect the conference to, as you have said so many times, a live match experience, so you can see this technology and innovation in practice, that is a big differentiator and a really well-put-together thought, which you have already executed super well once, and hope for another fantastic execution for you guys and the team. All right, last one on this event. So in case there are partners who want to reach out, who want to be part of the event in any way, how do they go about doing that? Whether it's a startup or, let's say, any other partner that might want to come in.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I think first way is to either contact me directly or just go to our website, Sports Innovation. .com, and then contact us. We're happy to get in touch with you. We're happy to explore opportunities to even bring you on the stage and present during a live match. Of course, that is a competitive environment. A lot of companies want to do that, so we have to make sure that, you know, the best cases are presented to the audience. But there's a lot of ways to be present at Sports Innovation, and visit us, contact us, and we'll be in touch shortly.
Super. You've already mentioned the website, sportsinnovation.de, and also, I guess, to reach out to you, Lucas, LinkedIn is a good place.
Always, of course, yeah. Please reach out via LinkedIn. I'm pretty sure you're gonna put my name here somewhere so people can also find me. It's not the easiest way to pronounce, so it's probably good that you write it down somewhere there.
Yeah, we will drop the Lucas's LinkedIn profile in the show notes so you can reach out to him and maybe try to get on stage or even just attend the event. I think it'll be a great one. All right, perfect. So I think we've covered what's coming up. In terms of the event, you've spoken a bit about what the DFL is looking at overall. Let's look a bit forward, maybe either at the Sports Innovation event or beyond. What kind of technology most excites you personally, either you as Lucas or maybe as the DFL as well, when it comes to innovation in either of those three buckets, but also specifically about stadium tech and stadium innovation, because that is at least the one big area of focus for us this month.
Yeah, I think one thing that I'm particularly interested in when it comes to in-stadium experience is how can we deliver through technology experiences that maybe excites especially younger target audiences that could be gamified experiences through AR, VR. But I personally don't see that people are going into the stadium wearing a, huge VR glass. I don't see that happening just now, but you know, who knows how they look like in 10 years from now? I don't know. So that could be a case, but I think, you know, it should be, or I expect it to be a seamless innovation where, you know, people can just, I've seen in mural walls where you can just scan your phone over or place your phone over and they start moving, you know, or you can see the highlights because, you know, they are moving instantly and, you know, there's a screen coming up. And that's stuff like that can be placed in the stadium because in the end, the stadium has, you know, a lot of advantages. You can feel the atmosphere. You can feel, you know, the excitement of the people. You can, you know, see, you know, a live experience like nobody, like nowhere else. So we don't want to take that away. The question is just how can we maybe enhance it? What makes it more convenient? For example, does it make sense to have replays immediately pushed to your phone so you can also see them? Because sometimes, you know, you want to see, okay, what really happened there at the VAR, for example. So, you know, there's a couple of things that we can just think about enhancing that experience. And I think AR, VR are a couple of things. But yeah, Web3 as well, because you might want to be rewarded, for example, for the fact that you attended a match and you attended hundreds of matches. And how can you reward maybe your loyal fans? And, you know, Web3 can be an answer to that. So in the end, I think to sum it up, it's probably those innovations that are really meaningful. And it's a challenge because we still want to just try out, because we have to try out, you know, to understand what's really feasible and what's technically feasible. But we should never forget that in the end, it should create value for the people that we do that for. And that is, I think, the greatest challenge in innovation, to come from an innovation test, a POC, to really into production and to, you know, having that as part of your ecosystem. And, you know, that's going to be a challenge for us moving forward.
Makes a lot of sense. One thing I want to address there from what you said, you spoke a lot about solutions for the fan, especially when it comes to in-stadium and how we can enhance that fan experience. But does the DFL also give, is it like more importance is given to the fan at the center of the experience? Or do you also say, hey, this is a bunch of stuff for the fan that will help, but also here are tools for, I don't know, venue owners or the teams or the broadcasters? Is there a hierarchy of what you focus more time and effort when you're looking for innovations on?
No, I wouldn't say. I mean, all of these three groups, be it the media partner, be it the club and the fan, they are equally important. Yeah. And when it comes to in-stadium solutions, we, of course, also think about media partners and clubs. For the clubs, we, of course, want to present them or provide them with instant opportunities to check performance data, for example, from Sportech Solutions. So we provide them with a match analysis hub that they can access immediately, and we want to do that in real time. And they also receive, for example, the broadcasting feeds almost in real time, so they can also, you know, analyze the game for their purposes. And for the media partners, we always explore, especially when it comes to new camera technology, you know, new drone perspectives, looking at new sound opportunities with Dolby Atmos, which we tested, I think, 2022 Super Cup for the very first time, because, you know, that stadium experience we want to transport also to the living room of each fan and help the media partners to provide that to them. And so I wouldn't say that there's a hierarchy. We try to look at them equally. I think the fan experience in the stadium is something which still is not really untapped, but which still has a lot of opportunities, because we have more and more target groups who might just be interested in having, you know, a second screen experience during a match. And that was just not the case for many years. So I think there's a lot of room to grow there.
Makes sense. What are the biggest challenges that the DFL faces or you face when you're looking for new technology to run pilots or to run POCs with?
I think really depends on the innovation, on the test case. I mean, you know, either it could be just a bandwidth within the stadium, which is not just always the case that it's there. So infrastructure is still an issue, but it could also be hardware. When we look at the AR tests that we did with the glasses, I think it was still the case that to some extent the hardware was not at the point where it felt comfortable for the users. And so in that case, you know, there's new hardware coming out now, so that might help us there. And then of course it's also the acceptance of fans, which we always need to bear in mind, which is a challenge. So in order to convince them that something is meaningful, it needs to be meaningful in the first place, and it needs to run seamless. So it's a mixture of technology and, you know, market development. I think these are kind of the challenges we face, as well as you said, that there are three different target groups, which also not always have the same goals. So we have to be there a little bit, you know, as a league, or we always kind of moderating there, I'd say.
Well, the one thing that I took, one important thing that I took away from that, because I get to speak to a lot of teams or leagues, is that at least the DFL, it doesn't sound like, maybe you can correct me, that you don't have to overcome this cultural, let's say, close-mindedness to innovation. Inherently, everybody's open. It sounds like it. There are a number of Bundesliga clubs who have innovation programs. The DFL, of course, the DFB also. So it just seems like there is a culture of innovation here, which means that everybody's willing to experiment and everybody understands that there will be failure in this journey as we continue to experiment until we find the right solution. So I guess as long as that carries, that can help overcome some of the challenges that you've just outlined.
No, that is mostly the case. But I mean, there are 36 clubs with 36 opinions also on innovation. So of course, that's sometimes a challenge, and not everybody in that whole ecosystem is you know, equally open to all the innovations that we as DFL drive, and that's understandable. But yeah, you know, you just have to be a little bit persistent sometimes, also that, you know, some things may change or need time to change, and that you still need test cases, that you might fail. I mean, in Germany, we have not the biggest, you know, failure culture. We really try to be very perfect at everything we do. And with innovations, you will never achieve that. So it is also a challenge. I'm not going to lie, but I think we have established a good foundation for innovation,
which is the most important thing, to look forward, which is where I'm going to take you, Lucas. You've taken us through a really good journey. I'll have to give you props for setting the context well with the DFL, with the sports innovation, talking about successes and challenges. Now let's look at what's coming next. So, of course, there is the sports innovation event in 6 months' time, but I'm sure you have other projects that you are working on and are excited by. Anything else that you can share that's coming up for the DFL?
I mean, especially with AWS and our technology partnership there, we always try to be very, very at the forefront. And we look at, for example, you know, when it comes to sports data, there's so many opportunities to, you know, use new technologies to automate the whole process of event gathering. And that, again, you know, gives new opportunities, because you might use a technology that requires limb tracking, and that offers opportunities then again for the fan experience. And we try to run the first test there. And I think that's very interesting. But also in that whole, you know, fan experience part, you know, we try to build a really personalized experience on our digital platforms. We try to build or rebuild everything that we do on the Bundesliga own channels, like the Bundesliga app and I'm pretty sure in the next couple of weeks and months, it will look different than today. So we try to, you know, understand that customer behavior changes. There's more video content. There's more personalized video content on there, more vertical content. As a league, we always, try to get in that D2C business, try to engage more with our fans directly. That's also something that we want to continue to explore. And I think there's a lot of things that are out there. And as I said in the beginning, sustainability is for us not just another buzzword. It's something that we try to live up to. And we have, as a DFL, established strong guidelines for our clubs that they need to follow as part of their licensing program or licensing process, I should say. And we try to also support them by that. And for that, also technology and innovations might play a pivotal role.
Sounds like you're a busy guy, Lucas. Always lots going on. If you need any help from any of the listeners or from us, feel free to let us know. I'm sure that everybody would be love to jump on any of those projects, all the good work that the DFL is doing. Lucas, it has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show. I can't let you go before asking my last question, which is the one I always end the show with. It's my favorite question to ask. I like to believe we're all sports fans first. So I'm curious to know what has been your favorite sporting moment, either one you participated in as a fan or an athlete.
Well, as an athlete, I was never good enough that it could be my favorite moment. But as a fan, wow, I think that 2011 championship of Borussia Dortmund was very special for me, and experiencing it in the stadium because it was after also a long period of suffering. But 2014, Germany winning the World Cup and beating Brazil 7-1, I'll never forget that. So a lot of great memories from both moments.
Yeah, usually World Cup wins tend to figure pretty high, especially for football fans. I was expecting that answer. But good man, Lucas, thanks so much once again for taking the time. Good to hear about all the good work that the DFL is doing. We will continue to feature more content from the DFL, I think, as we're leading up to the event. But at least for now, we've showcased a lot of on the stadium innovation topic, but also the other topics that you mentioned. So thanks for talking about all of those.
Ron, it was a pleasure to be a part of the show. Thank you very much. Looking forward to the next episodes and to see you in Düsseldorf in March.
Appreciate it. Looking forward to that. All right, guys, that's a wrap for another episode and a wrap for this series. Stadium innovation in stadium tech. You'll see the summary of all the guests that we've had on the podcast, all the articles that we've written, including summarizing the paper that we wrote the DFL published in partnership with SportsTechX on 5G in sports, and also summarizing what happened at the previous sports innovation event. So go to our website to check out all of that good content. Next month, we're going to be talking about cricket tech. It's not something that we feature often, but as we roll around in different areas of focus in sports technology and sports innovation, there is a World Cup happening, and one in a sport that is very important to us as Indians, cricket tech innovation. And cricket tech is our focus for next month. We've got a fantastic first guest lined up for you, former cricketer, former legendary cricketer, and World Cup winning coach Gary Kirsten, who will kick us off on that episode. Come back next week for that one. See you guys then. Ciao.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast with Rohan Malhotra. If you like our show, let us know and leave a review. And if you want to know more about us, check out sportstechx.com, where you can find our latest industry reports and updates. For a deeper dive into all things sports tech, check out our comprehensive database, SportsTechDB, at sportstechdb.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media. You can find us at SportsTechX on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. Join us next time for another insightful conversation with a leader in sports tech.